right, well, it's the second day of the convention, and we have had this morning the contest for the stage, and Steve Bender is in doing his show, rather a lecture then, too, and it's soon about noon and 1 o'clock, I believe, Dan, or rather Paul Gertner is going to be giving his lecture. And right now I'm just over in tech rehearsal. Looks like Dan Harlan, who's going to be the MC for tonight, is kind of running through there. I'm talking with the stage manager. I guess, Terry, you were the stage manager. Was that your correct title? Kind of what you?
I will accept that. I got to repeat it, but I will accept it.
Okay. And your last name is Wart?
Walthall.
Walthall.
Mm-hmm.
How do you spell that?
W-A-L-T-H-A-L-L.
Walthall. That's why.
I think I came over in the Mayflower or something. I think that's why it's a bizarre name.
Now, how many years have you been attending and working with the Midwest Magic Jubilee?
This is like the 14th year.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I keep saying. I go,
I'm here again.
Yeah. And wow, they keep keeping the room colder and colder in here, and pretty soon I really will be dead.
Well, the stage is just awesome, you know, for the hotel. I mean, first of all, the hotel has been really great to us, all the personnel, and it's just been phenomenal. Looks like they've upgraded the rooms, and they're very nice here. But then the stage conditions, you know, with the bat wings on the side and got nice, you know, video monitor and everything. So
well, we tried to cater to all with that, and certainly, as you stated, the staff has been exquisite. I mm-hmm. mean, you couldn't ask for a better staff to accommodate us for what we're doing here.
Right.
You know, it's great.
I've been to a lot of other conventions, you know, where that they have stages set up in the hotels like this, but there hasn't been anything, you know, quite like this. You know, I mean, where that, I mean, with curtains that pull, and you got, you know, different backdrops. It's all just a very nice stage setting and lights and everything. Now, did you bring in the lights? See some of the things?
I did. These are my lights. And
sound?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I've been doing this, and I think I finally got it honed down to what's necessary.
After 14 years,
I guess. After 14 years. I would certainly like to do a larger scale, but we don't have the ceiling height for something like that because, you know, I like, especially like when we're doing the IBM and so on and so forth, we've got like mm-hmm. a million lights and all these different effects, and it really makes everybody look really nice and
right.
so on and so forth. So.
Well, I think I see a juggler over there, too. Is he going to be on tonight, then?
He will be.
Okay. Now, you talk about the ceilings. Are they going to be high enough, then, also?
Well, he will be, because if you look up there, he'll space it out and get his timing right, because that's very small space up there. I mean, that's less than 10 feet mm-hmm. that he has to deal with.
After you get up on the stage, yeah.
Right. And especially, you know, you're going to be juggling like that. I mean, he looks like he's got a pile of things he's going to be putting in the air, so hopefully he's got it worked out.
Yeah, that's right. I want to ask you, then, also, just about yesterday, that the way when I left off with the podcast and posted that from yesterday, it was before that we had had the evening show and then also the talk show.
Talk show just was spectacular. I mean, the way that you pulled that off was just crazy. You had the right element of people up there, and Simon and his madness as he is, and you got Sean up there. I mean, and those guys going back and forth, and you, like I said, you get the fuse going, and after that, they just go off in their own little world, and all we can do is sit there and laugh. And you did a great job of trying to keep your composure.
Trying to.
So, I mean, it was probably, it was spectacular what it was, because we just laughed and laughed, and the audience loved it, and it was the buzz this morning.
Yeah.
I was talking about what the other people had missed, so.
Yeah, because we were up until 1 in the morning before it was over.
Well, that's nothing new to me. I'm usually here until about 3:30 or 4.
But not everybody at this convention. I mean, this is, I would say that the average age is fairly old, you know, at this convention. They're not a lot of young people. It's not like, you know, some of the
younger. You really don't want to say old, more mature.
More mature seniors, yeah. I would say, retired, you know.
Yeah.
So
right.
I wouldn't say the average age is dead, you know, kind of a thing. But
yeah, right. Yeah.
I would say that as a result, I'm just saying because that most people would go to bed a little bit earlier. You know,
mm-hmm.
they wake up early, but they go to bed a little bit early. And so, but those over the last few years who have seen the show, you know, I think have been coming back and say, hey, I want to come and see that. And like you said, I guess they were talking about that. That was a lot of fun. You know, I had to start off with Eugene Berger, and then we had Richard Turner, and he had some interesting stories.
Well, they all had interesting stories, but, you know, and, you know, it's kind of interesting how they all had flew together and melted together, I guess I should say, because, you know, one right after the other, you just kept bringing them out, and they just kept getting funnier and funnier.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, alcohol is a great thing to have when you're doing a show like that.
It's a good stimulant. That's right, yeah. And so I was encouraging everybody in the audience to be drinking as well
as
the people up on the stage. And that was fun. And, yeah, certainly that the synergy that and the spark, I should say, that Simon really brought with his chicken story. It was funny. And then everybody else kind of got in on it, you know, with Sean talking about some stories and things. So it was
exactly.
You never know which direction it's going to be going. So that was just a whole heck of a lot of fun.
Well, that's what makes it, I think, totally interesting, because you might have planned, well, okay, we're going to talk about this, and sometimes you certainly stay on that, and then a lot of times, like last night, it just went awry. And when it goes awry, that's when everybody's having fun, the audience
right.
is laughing.
Keeps them awake, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stimulated them towards the end.
Certainly stimulation, there's no doubt about it.
There was one gentleman, an older gentleman, retired, who had told me he was going to attend the show last night, but he said, if you see me nodding off, he said, I just want you to know I've been up since like 3 in the morning or something. And I saw him this morning, and he said, I told you I was going to go to sleep, and I didn't. He said, I was there the whole time. He said, I had a great time. And when Simon was you know, talking about, had that chicken out, and it started screaming, and it was just crazy. Just a lot of fun. So, yeah, it was kind of a buzz. But this has really just been a nice convention. I was going to ask Terry, the other Terry, whether or not we're hitting new records, or as far as numbers, or have you heard has registrants?
Well, being on the technical side, I'm not really involved with that.
Yeah.
So Terry would be the one.
I'll check
really,
with him. I'm just kind of curious. It seems like that this is a nice, intimate convention. You know, a lot of people who are locally. Would you say a lot of people have, I'll ask Terry about that also, driven in as opposed to coming and staying here at the hotel? I mean, since it's a kind of a local convention, but I mean, it is regional. But
it is regional, and it's remarkable that we do have such a variety of people from all over the place. I mean, we have, you know, like yourself, certainly from Texas, but
yeah.
I mean, we have people from everywhere, Michigan, you know, all around, Missouri for sure, mm-hmm. because, you know, it's close, but I would say that a lot of them are actually, they come in a plane versus driving.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be 50-50. I mean, I really don't know, because I really don't pay attention to that. I just know by reading the, you know, name tags that they're from somewhere else.
Right,
you know.
Right.
So it makes it a lot of fun, I think, you know, that we get such a variety of people from all over versus, you know, it's almost like a national convention. I mean, you know.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
So
getting to be more international, too, having people from some other countries then, too. It was interesting this morning. We were watching the stage contest, and there were five contestants,
I guess we had.
Yep. And a good variety that they had, you know, young and old alike as well. So it's good to see that. We'll see how that turns out and who the winner's going to be. Well, Terry, thanks very much for your time. I appreciate
it.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is for now. Scotty out. Well, we're still on day two of the Midwest Magic Jubilee here in St. Louis, Missouri, and we just finished the Paul Gertner lecture, which was pretty fantastic, and I'm sitting here with Sean Farquhar. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how are you, Scott?
I'm doing great, thank you. Enjoying the convention?
Have an absolute blast. Paul Gertner was brilliant.
Wasn't he?
He was, you know, considering you only get an hour to do a lecture,
right.
And he put in 3 hours worth of
material. Yeah, he crammed it all in there. It's like a lot of good stuff to think about. It's like, wow.
Just his classic force alone, I bought his package and the wow material.
You
use multiple
great
versions
idea.
Of Masuda.
I
the
use
cell
that.
Phone idea?
Yes.
Oh, really good.
I'm going to start using that. I mean, I've got actually 3 wows. I got backup for a backup because I like it so much, you know. I had one that chipped, and so that little piece of plastic broke.
I recently bought the new package that has the blank wow and the extra additional things.
Yes, you switch that out then?
Oh, awesome, awesome, awesome.
But that little tip he was talking about using as a camera.
It's a really good idea.
That's a cool idea. But a good lecture. His stuff on the classic horse is always great. And you know what I like about it? Was also his discussion with the business aspect, you know, of like public speaking.
Very few people ever step into that and talk about it. Almost all lectures seem to just talk about shiny objects. And I just love that they spend some time actually talking about the practical things, how he brought in company XYZ into, you know, tossing out the paper airplane, things like this. I love those moments.
Yes.
You actually get to see that this guy isn't a guy who sits in his bedroom and comes up with a magic trick and then then figures out how to market it. Instead, it's a guy who has actually done it for decades.
That's right.
He really does it. It really does work in the real world. And you can tell by the way he presents it that it's not like the third time he's presented it. It's the 10,000th time he's presented it.
Very clean, very clear and concise. Yeah. You're exactly right. You can tell that he has been doing that for a long time, and that it's not interchangeable. Although, you know, there are some things you can say, okay, quality service, and you know, different keywords, I guess.
Some customizable, but that he's actually creating for that market.
That's right. And I did like the idea. You know, the toss out deck has always been just a wonderful routine,
phenomenal.
But the revelation.
He even brought up the moments of, you know, being careful not to do a toss out with wine glasses. Brought up the moments that you know he's experienced.
Oh, that's right. Things that have happened. Yeah. In real life, it's like, okay, be careful of this or that. Yeah. It's not just a pipe dream. And that's something, you know, that I know a lot of guys are out there, you know, looking for alternate streams of revenue, and so they're trying to go on the lecture tour, but that have not lectured before, and they think, well, here's a cool idea. It's, you know, I don't want to give away stuff from my show, because when the economy turns around, I'm going to go back and be doing my show again. I don't want people doing my show, so I'll just invent a couple of things. And they do, but they're not either.
But they're not real.
You can feel it. Exactly right.
And you can see it when they start saying, when they have that moment where they don't have a solution, and so they say, I usually do this. I'm like, really? Doesn't feel like you usually do that.
Yeah. Or someone asks a question and they hesitate. It's like, because they haven't had that happen before. Well, of course it hadn't happened before. You haven't done it.
Come on. Yeah, you've only done it six times and that's been at lectures. Yeah.
So you're liking the convention? This is your first time?
It's my very first time at Midwest Magic Jubilee. I'm a huge supporter of regional conventions. You know, I've produced the PCM for the last 17 years. I've been a part of it. And now I'm the president of the Canadian Association of Magicians. I love the smaller regionals. SAMCON, NEMCON, I don't think you could say it's small, but TOAM. I love the regionals because it allows the people to connect very close to home. Not everybody can afford to go to the nationals, although, you know, I believe in the nationals. I think that's a very important part of our magic community. I still think the small convention needs to be supported by the local people.
Yeah, you know, after the 4F convention, they always have the Monty. You know,
Monty,
Magicians
Alliance, always stay for that.
That's fun. And, you know, I coined a term for that some years ago when I was doing the column for Magic Magazine. Called drive-in conventions, because people would drive in and then drive back out, because I thought that was kind of cool. They'd come in the morning and the hotel would swell, and then they'd have a dinner and then the show, and you know, I was staying over Monday night, you know, and I thought, well, I'll hang around, you know, talk to some of the guys. Golly, it was like you and me, you know. It was like just a couple guys from the Pectors and empty hallways. Like, where'd they go? They just drove in. Here it's for the day.
I used to hate the feeling of a convention the day after when it was just you walking down the hallway going, and yesterday over there was it? The next day you're walking down this hallway kicking your suitcase going, this is a really bad. I miss your column, by the way. Yeah. I loved your convention column. It was one of those things that, you know, for me, the way they read, I could actually feel like I'd attended it. It was a nice thing to know. And
that was great. You know, that it was a lot of fun, you know, for the years that we did that. I think I had it for about 8 years or so in Magic Magazine. I thank Stan for the opportunity of being able to do that, because with that show, here's Terry Richardson, and also we're just talking about conventions.
Yeah.
But thank you, Terry. Appreciate that.
Sweet. Look at this. Talking about the small regional conventions and Midwest Magic Jubilees giving us a happy hour.
Happy hour.
Sweet.
All right. You're the best. I'm gonna chat to you a little bit later over here.
All right. I appreciate it.
He's busy working, as usual.
Yes,
because, you know, these little regionals, they have giant staffs of 80 and 90 people to help them.
Exactly.
Or maybe it's just him and his legs.
Well, yeah, that was Terry Richardson, who was the president and organizer of the convention. In fact, I was talking with Terry Wathel, and he said there are six of us.
Six.
So we're talking about regional conventions. But I was going back then again to the conventions article. I had a lot of compliments, you know, and people said, man, how do you get time to go to all these conventions? You've got just a great life, because, you know, I was publishing 4 to 6 different convention reviews a month.
Yeah.
And people say, there are so many conventions to choose from today. And I said, there are just as many, if not more, before than what there are now. And if anything, I think there are fewer conventions just because the economy, the conventions or organizers are not making the money they used to. And so they've kind of cut back a lot from.
Organizers made money on conventions at one time?
Well,
really?
Sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah. I know that you said you lost quite a bit last year. Yeah, wow.
Last year was my daughter's college fund. No. Last year was a good hit, but I've had ones where I've actually financially made tens of thousands of dollars and ones where I've lost tens of thousands of dollars.
Exactly.
If anybody ever believed that you did a convention or produced it because it was a financially profitable thing, they really need to sit down and look at the numbers.
That's right.
I don't think a lot of the things you do in the Magic community, you know, I was just recently at a national convention and there was a registrant screaming at one of the convention organizers, and I went over and said, you know, this man makes absolutely nothing to do this convention. He pays for his own registration. He pays for his hotel room. He paid for his flights to get here to volunteer to try to make your magic life a little bit better. And you're screaming at him because there's some small problem in your world. And the guy's like, really? He doesn't get paid? I was like, no. I said, they all have this dream that there's like, you know, $1 million at the end of the convention rainbow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It ain't there, folks. Nope. That's right. Everybody's thinking about starting their own convention. But speaking of conventions, I do want to talk with you then about you are a co-chairman then with Mark Whitehouse. Tell me about the upcoming combined IBM and SAM convention.
Well, the past national president of the Society of American Magicians, Mark and I, are been named as the co-chairs. We're in a steering committee of six of us, and we're producing in St. Louis in 2014 the combined IBM SAM North American Championships for FISM. It's going to be massive. If you remember in 2008 how huge it was, we're going to
be like about 1,200, 1,400,
yeah,
something like that.
We're going to be repeating that. I think we'll have the same numbers, if not more, because people will know just what an exciting experience
exactly.
it was.
Those who missed it last time will make sure they come next time.
Yeah. I'm certain of it. We'll bring in some of the... I got asked to be the talent chairman, so I'm in charge of bringing in the talent. And having this opportunity these last 3 years as the, you know, FISM mm-hmm. champion to be able to travel the world, I have seen some of the most amazing acts in the entire world.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm bringing them.
That was the advantage, you know, of Hank Morehouse, rest his soul, you know, that would be able to travel the world, and he would come back and have these great ideas, you know, and he was the talent chairman.
Hank has such a good eye for talent. Such a good eye. He could see the raw talent. He could see the guy, you know, that didn't have any promotion or hype behind him.
But he knew.
He could see it. Yeah. He could really see who was the talent.
Yeah.
That those huge shoes to fill. And I don't plan on ever filling them. I'm just going to try to stand next to him a little bit in the shadow.
Stand in the shadow of his shoes.
And see, exactly. And see if a little bit of light can be cast while I work hard to bring something together.
Now, while you've been in here in St. Louis this time, have you had a chance to go and take a look at the hotel?
Went over and took a look, of course.
Yeah, and?
Research and development. Oh, it's a gorgeous hotel. The facilities are massive.
Which hotel is it?
It's the other Hilton.
Okay.
Right downtown.
Downtown by the riverfront, near the arch.
Beautiful. Yes.
Okay. Gateway to the west.
I would say five blocks, maybe. I walked, and I'm not a good walker, but I walked down to see the arch.
Mm-hmm.
What a spectacular park.
Okay.
And we're holding it during the 4th of July, so I remember back years ago coming here for a national convention and going out to watch the fireworks in front of the arch, and it was like, you know, you Americans really know how to celebrate your independence. Canada, you know, we fire off a couple of rockets and we're done for the evening.
Yeah.
So to see
a couple of bottle rockets.
Exactly.
A couple of beers, eh?
Well, the beers were all that really count, eh? You know how Canada got its name?
Hey,
Scrabble.
Scrabble?
Yeah, we put letters in a bag and we pulled them out. We got a C, A, and an N, A, and a D,
A.
But don't laugh. You guys used to be the U.S., A.
That's America,
eh? Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to it here. It's a wonderful gateway. It's central to all of America. There's no excuse not to come in 2014. It will be a spectacular event.
Sam has started working with FISM North America. Now, are they having those contests, like they had the contest then this year? Do they hold them every year, or will that
be every 3 years?
No, I know about FISM. It's every 3 years. But will this be the year before the FISM? In other words, next year is going to be FISM in 2012.
North American Championships will be 3 years, too. Three years.
Gotcha. So it'll be 14, just before the 15 FISM.
If you think 2008 was the last IBM SAM combined, where they held the North American FISM to find a person.
I'm with you.
Now, this last one, IBM opted out, and there's four organizations, the AMA, CMA, IBM, and SAM, that are all the North
FISM
American
members.
FISM members.
They
pick their champions from this combined convention. They did an IBM SAM, and then in 2008, IBM chose to do an independent convention, so SAM held the North American Championship, and there they selected the competitors that will represent North America at the upcoming FISM in Blackpool in 2012. And the exact same thing will happen in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
We'll select the champions for the Canadian Association of Magicians, the Academy of Magical Arts, the IBM, and for the SAM will all be selected from the 2014 to go to the 2015 FISM, wherever it's held. And so this new formula is each of the regions, the Australasia, Asia, Latin America, Europe, and North America will have their championships the year before FISM, so then they go to the FISM with their champions.
And you were involved also this year, a little bit with the...
I was involved a little bit with the IBM convention in a very small way because I was added to the board, moving up the chairs, and I'm now asked to be the talent chairman for the next few years. I'm really looking forward to that because I want to bring in a few faces. It's, once again, huge shoes to fill. Dale Sawick has done such a great job
over
for
the year,
a decade. I mean, it's amazing stuff, and he's had great resources. I've already told him, you know, I'm going to be relying on him a lot for advice and ideas, but I want to to bring in a few other faces that I've had the opportunity to see that he hasn't seen.
Right.
That's the next couple of years in line. Well, yeah.
But the reason I was asking about Sam and FISM is because that just you may be able to address some of the controversy that had to do with the some people who were not North American residents who mm-hmm. had won. You'll say there's some from Asia and Spain and others who had come through and performed.
In fact, our North American champions are from Spain and Korea.
That's my point. And so some people were saying, well, does that seem reasonable? I mean, that they...
Well, it does to me.
Okay,
and
tell me
because,
why. Yeah,
because it's hosted by the AMA, which is the Academy of Magical Arts Society, which is the Magic Castle, which is not exactly a California organization.
Good point.
It's a world organization.
World organization.
The Canadian Association of Magicians, which is, you know, all Canadian, but even in the CAM, we have members from South Korea and ones from the United States.
Right.
Now you get to the two largest ones. The Society of American Magicians is not just an American organization. They have assemblies in Germany. They have assemblies in Japan.
Yeah,
they have assemblies worldwide. So they're not an American organization. And then the International Brotherhood of Magicians is just that, international, with rings around the world. So if they're going to hold a competition and you're a member, you should be allowed to compete in the competition. In the past, IBM could sponsor an act from anywhere in the world, and the SAM could sponsor anyone that would belong to their assembly anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Why would that change when it came time to do the competition? If anything, as long as you're a card-holding member of one of those four organizations...
Wherever you are in the world.
Wherever you are in the world, if we've taken your dues money and
That's
you're
right.
a card-holding member,
Makes
well,
sense
then
to me.
Good for you.
Sure.
My exact argument is I have two young students that weren't able to, because of their professional commitments, make it to the SAM convention this year, but they still want to be in FISM. And they're headed over to Asia, and they just send in their memberships to belong to the Hong Kong Magic Association.
Okay.
If they accept their dues, they're
there
heading on over there. Maybe you'll have
there,
two
yeah.
Americans that will be representing Asia.
That's funny. That's funny. Well, that makes sense. But I wanted to kind of get the skinny on that because, you know, I've heard people kind of ask about that. And
I've seen lots of little controversies and things on many of the forums, and I'm like, I think you just have to look at it. It's not the United States champion. It's a North American champion, but our North American organizations are worldwide organizations.
Yeah, makes sense.
We don't have a, you know, one that isn't international.
Okay. Well, it's about time for the, speaking of contest,
close
about time
up.
For the close-up contest. Yeah, that Sean, you and I can talk for a long time.
We probably got to go judge, don't
I got to go judge. Yes, I am. So I got to go put on my judging hat here
Sweet.
For a little bit. Good. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure to talk, Scott.
And Scotty Wells. Scotty out. One last thing, since we are on my new podcast called The Magic Word, I'm going to ask Sean, what is your magic word? What is the magic word?
Easy.
Easy.
I like it. Easy.
Okay. That's Sean's magic word. Well, we just finished the close-up contest, and before that, I was talking with Sean Farquhar, and while we were chatting, we had Terry Richardson that came by, and I wanted to expand on and talk with him just a little bit here. Terry, hello.
Hi there. How are you?
Doing great, and thank you very much for taking a little bit of time and taking a load off, sitting down, and to chat here for just a few moments, because I know organizing this, it's certainly how busy that you are and running around day and night, so you haven't gotten many hours sleep probably the last month.
No, just the last week or so.
Last week or so, as it starts to get closer all the time. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, well, we've only got a little more than 24 hours to go.
Yeah.
That's one way of looking at it, you know. The rest of us are looking at it and saying, oh, man, there's only 24 hours. And then an organizer is like you. It's like,
is
oh,
it
man.
Over yet?
Exactly. Yeah, different perspective.
No, I'm enjoying it as much as you guys are.
Are you? Good.
Yeah.
Good. Now, tell me, I was talking to Terry Waffle a little bit earlier about how many people, he didn't know how many registrant.
We've got about 250.
250, okay.
Yeah.
And that tracks with previous years, how? Up, down,
we're
about
a little
same?
Up. We're a little
right?
up this year, yeah.
Okay.
We're beating it. Every year it seems to keep increasing, just, you know, either by a few or, just, you know.
Right.
But it's going
right.
up.
That's good.
We're not losing people, and that's a nice thing. I appreciate it.
Always like to know about that, you know, particularly with the conventions today,
yeah.
And curious if people are continuing to attend conventions or if they're going to other types of conventions or, you know, staying home and just watching YouTube or,
yeah. We're,
or whatever.
We're pulling in people. We got people here from Australia, England.
Yeah.
They're coming from all over the world.
I noticed
which, you know,
very international.
I have to scratch my head, too, as far as that goes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're a regional convention, basically,
right. Right.
But we're drawing from all over the world. We have people that come from Japan every year,
mm-hmm.
And it amazes me.
And quite a few dealers. How many we got? A dozen dealers?
We got a dozen dealers in there. Yeah, we kind of pared that down just a little bit this year, just so that the dealers could do a little bit better, and you know, have. But we got a nice array of. nice array of dealers with different product and stuff.
So we have about a dozen dealers this year. And how's that compare then to previous years? Don't you have usually about the same number of dealers or so?
Last year we had a few more usually, but unfortunately our book dealer got sick.
Well, that's right, Andy Grigette didn't
make it. He called just the day and a half before and said he had food poisoning, and if he wasn't packed by now.
It's too late.
He wasn't going to make it here, right. So that's fine. He'll be back next year and everything. So, and we want to keep the dealer's room tight so that we don't overdo with too many of the same type of dealers or anything. So a lot of variety.
A lot of variety, and also I noticed that the talent, the last few years that have been coming in as well, that you have a lot of variety as well coming in from all over the country and as well as the world. I mean, for a regional convention, you guys have not just one or two, big-name acts. I mean, that like this year again with Sean Farquhar and Paul Gertner and Eugene Berger and Andrew Goldenhirsch had it the
Simon
last minute.
Lovell.
Simon Lovell.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got really some top-notch acts at a lot of the major national conventions, It rivals with them, it seems, and yet small and intimate, it seems, with only 200 or so people, here at the convention.
The nice thing is, and I was talking to some of the performers last night, it's like, I like sitting down and talking. As Bill Malone said, this is the friendliest convention I've ever been to, and that's why I like coming here.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't come to a lot of conventions.
Yeah, to hang out.
To hang out, yeah. And, it's kind of, and they all sit there, and I'm sure that it was going on until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning out in the lobby again last night. And they're loving it. And those who want to stay up do, and those that can't don't.
Sure,
So far, everything's been running smoothly.
Good.
We haven't evacuated the hotel like we did last year with our.
Oh, I forgot about that.
We had our hazers.
Yes.
In fact, they
a couple times last year, didn't we?
Well, the football team, the Rams.
Yeah.
Also were in the hotel last year, and they caught something on fire during one of their dinners, and that's what evacuated.
Oh, is that what it was?
It wasn't us. No, we held up our hands immediately and said, "What not? We didn't have it on." But this year, now they've changed all their smoke alarms, and they've got it set up, so now we can have our haze. So all the intelligent lighting and everything shows up a lot better.
Yeah. Speaking of the lighting, I thought that Terry did a great job, in there. I think the lighting is really good, the staging and the curtains and everything. Just a beautiful stage.
Yeah,
beautiful stage.
He does a nice job.
But I'll also say that the hotel staff has just been very accommodating, very nice, and the rooms are just top-notch that they've remodeled. Being close to the airport, this is a easy access in and out. I mean, there's no reason why people shouldn't be coming to this convention. I mean, it's the middle of the country, heart of America, in and out of the convention. I mean, to the airport and just take a shuttle across the street, literally, and there's really no plane noise. I mean, they're not in the flight path. It's very cool.
No, it's easy. In fact, some of the dealers even talked to me, and they said, we like this. This probably is our best convention because we don't have to rent a car and then pay to have it parked. And it parks there all week, and we have to pay every day. And, this way we can hop in a shuttle, come over here, ship our stuff, and we're good to go. It's easy to get to. It's convenient. And we brought in some nice weather for us this time. It's been hotter than it can be, and now it's down in the 80s, so it's really nice.
It's very pleasant outside. And, of course, you got a casino, over there on the Mississippi, and so you had a casino trip for the ladies today.
We had a casino trip for the ladies or anybody that really wanted to go. The Lumiere Casino is brand new. It was brand new last year. And it's a nice little casino, very, very well done. And we have several of them here to pick from, and that was the one that we hadn't been to. Tomorrow we're going to go down to the historic old town of St. Charles. Do a trip down there,
and go by the IBM headquarters, maybe.
The IBM headquarters is just another couple exits past that, but they can if they want.
Yeah.
But the ladies love to do that, and it's all kinds of shopping and.
So you guys, by the way, don't know that Terry's wife, Cindy Richardson, is the secretary for the International Brotherhood of Magicians at her corporate headquarters here in St. Louis. So go ahead.
Well, anyway, tomorrow
they're going to be
doing that, and
they bust them up for that thing.
Picking them up, taking them out there, it's a nice little trip.
It's really, as all conventions really are, family friendly. This is a family friendly convention. Let's say, for an example, Magic Live. I don't see Las Vegas really as being what I would think of as being like a family friendly kind of a place. I mean, certainly, kids, there are things for children to do, but it's really more of an adult type of a convention. But I don't see, you know, a lot of youth activities, you know, at this convention. I don't see a lot of youth. I see, you know, some children here, you know, bring some families. But, you know, it's not like, you know, with the IBM or some others that I've seen. I mean, in fact, I was talking with someone else earlier about it seems that that there are a lot of the same people who have been coming year after year and who will come. It doesn't matter if you book a blue dog. I mean, it's just like a TAOM. We got people who are dedicated individuals who will come all the time. But it's an older generation, it seems like, who are continuing to come to the conventions.
Yeah, although we're picking up, if we did the demographics of this, we're picking up a lot of young people. And, in fact, one of our contestants is a junior member, and he did very well today in the contest. I can't tell you who won yet.
Okay, but, boy, that contest was good. There was a guy. You got a phone call you got to take over here?
It's
okay. No, there was a fellow who did a parasol act that I understand. I think he won at the Abbott's just a week ago. Is that right?
That's what I heard.
Yeah,
that he had. So
beautiful act. Yeah.
There were a couple good, great ones here that really stood out. So we'll see how that judging comes together and everything, because it's all about the points and you know. So
now, and to organize something like this, I mean, it is obviously a labor of love and everything, and you've only got what, about a half dozen people, including yourself. And
well, it's put on by the IBM Ring 1,
okay,
and SAM Assembly 8, which
large groups.
IBM is a large group. SAM's smaller, but you know, it everybody wants to help, and so we have a lot. But when it really comes down to the rubber meeting the road,
that's right,
there's half a dozen of us that really spend all year long putting this together. And I've already started booking talent for next year.
Next year?
Yeah. So
I hope to be back myself. That's going to be fun.
Well, I think we can work that out.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Everybody talks about your show, and I'm sure you probably haven't interviewed yourself about your own show. But let me just tell you what I heard about your show.
Okay.
Your show was one of the best things that they've ever seen. And we had talked about this, but when you came back, when we talked about coming back this year, as a great way to introduce the performers to everybody. And it you're not talking about, oh, this is how I got into magic, especially. You actually got into a little bit of their lives and other things that have happened in their lives and what else they're doing and stuff like that. And everybody told me it was just hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. And a couple of the, you know, you had Sean Farquhar up there, you had Simon Lovell up there. And one guy said, he goes, I had tears in my eyes. I was laughing so hard. And, so well received, well received.
Glad to get the feedback.
And done very well.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, as you've done before in the past.
And every year, you know, it has to do with just the synergy of who happens to be there, you know, and who's sitting in the chair and getting a few people just kind of and asking the right questions. You know, kind of feel like Larry King, you know.
over there. I think you did a little better than Larry King.
Plus, you
didn't have suspenders on.
And I've only got one wife I plan on keeping.
Boom.
Yeah. But anyhow, we've still got some more to go, and tomorrow we're going to be having a close. Today we had all the contests, stage and close up, and then tomorrow, I assume we have the professional close-up shows.
Have a professional close-up show, and of course tonight we'll have a professional stage show, and tomorrow night we'll have a professional stage.
Are those open to the public?
Those are open to the public. Yeah, we have a lot of public that usually comes in.
How do you promote this?
Through our local media and stuff like that. Obviously, that's who we're targeting, and I just happen to, given the contacts that I have, we have a lot of media contacts that. We'll publicize it. We've had reporters running around here all day today for a couple of
I've seen some of
the newspaper newspapers and TV stations were in here doing some filming and stuff. And they'll put it out on the news, and that always perks up people.
It's a work, and they purchase tickets.
They can get tickets right here at the hotel. Just come to the registration for the convention, and they can purchase them there, or they can purchase them online if it's the day before.
Because I'm publishing this tonight, so it'll be tomorrow, just in case someone happens to be listening who's not registered and come in, because you've got day registrations, too.
There are single-day registrations, because, you know, not everybody can take off 3 or 4 days to do it. Some people still have to work for a living. Mm-hmm. And we've got single registrations.
Hey, being a full-time magician is working for a living.
but you're setting your own schedule.
That's right.
So the good thing is, and we've got I've already gotten calls, you know, and said, hey, I can only be there Saturday, how much does it cost?
Right.
And you know, so we've got the 1-day registration. It's only $70 for for a day.
Okay. Well, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, Terry, thank you very much for your time, and thank you very much for putting on just another bang-up convention. This is number what, 75 or what?
This is 55.
55, okay.
This is the 55th anniversary.
Okay.
And we have to say it that way because when it first started years and years and years ago, 55 mm-hmm. years ago.
Bud Dietrich.
Bud Dietrich was one of the original organizers. In fact, he was a registration chairman. He gave me the original publicity press release that they put out. I've got it, and it was done on a mimeograph.
Funny. And Harry Mani also was...
Harry Mani was not involved with organizing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the when we used to rotate between St. Louis and Kansas City.
Yeah.
And somewhere in the 80s or somewhere, Kansas City just couldn't keep it going. It's what I was told. I don't know the full details. So they stopped it, and we kept going for every other year for a long time until Steve Zelke and I took it over the year 2000, and we couldn't figure out a reason to have it every other year. So we have it every year.
Every year.
Exactly. Then that could be why we're, keep growing in attendance.
One last thing, that this podcast is called A Magic Word. My question to you is, what is your magic word?
It is silk.
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 Silk. Smooth as silk, easy as silk. Silk. I like that. Yeah. There's a magic word from Terry Richardson. Thank you for your time. Thanks for the convention. This is Scott.
All right. Well, it is here Friday evening, and we're just having a little kind of a happy hour here. And I've got with me one of the originators back 55 years ago, Bud Dietrich, who was one of the originators of the Midwest Magic Jubilee. Is that correct?
Right.
That's right. Some time ago. You haven't missed one, have you?
No. I was going to say a long time ago.
Okay. A while back. You could have carried me in, pushed me in a stroller back then.
Boy, that was so...
And when I think about it, we really had some fun times.
Yes.
When I was down with you and
Charlie McFarlane, back in Midland,
We sat there, I went in one night, and I said, I'll get a little sleep anyway.
We were learning so much from you, being the king of trade shows, for so long, and then, Charlie going off and doing all those, and I'd like to, doing some here myself, and you've taught so much and had so many children doing trade shows over the years, and your first book, that seminal book of trade show business?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. Yep.
I remember of the time we had talking about that,
So step over here a little bit.
I got to get over.
Yeah, it's okay.
We were talking about Charlie got into trade shows.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, now, what's he doing now?
Same thing. Yeah, he's both flying for Continental and doing trade shows then as well.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I even did trade shows in Sweden.
I just work for a Swedish company myself, the OTC here this year.
Yeah, I'll be darned.
Yeah.
I got to get that.
So you actually live not in O'Fallon, but in Belleville. Belleville, Illinois.
Right.
Yep. And so you've been there for all these years?
All these years. I'm right on the 11th fairway of the country club. I got the best view I've ever in the world, I mean.
Yes.
And I have to say this, I had a wonderful time, and God certainly was good to me because I never had any problems of wrecks or flying,
good health.
Flying so much, what I mean? I was
that's true.
Over.
Yeah,
and then I did one round of talks in Europe to all the magicians. I started in Rome, Milan, Zurich, Switzerland, Heilbronn, Vienna, Munich, Frankfurt, Brussels, and London. On one round.
On just one trip?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, were you just talking to other magicians and talking about...
They all got together. One guy, I went to bed about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I got up.
Come over here.
And I got up. Here, hon. I got up.
Have a seat there. That's fine.
I did it in Heilbronn, Germany. And I got up, went to bed real late, I got up about 9 o'clock, and here's a guy sitting there waiting for me all night long.
He'd been up waiting for you.
Yeah, because he had wanted me to go over with him on the stuff I did. And the next time I saw him, next time I saw him, and he was in construction business.
Uh-huh.
Next time I saw him, is when I went there and did another show, and then we spent the whole evening together. But it was a wonderful life.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful life.
Well, you know, I had talked many years ago to Mike Rogers towards the end of his career, and I remember him, sitting there and said, you know, Scott, if I was going to be, choose another profession, it probably wouldn't be magic because it's been hard on my legs and my back. And he said, and all the travel. And he said, but, I guess he was a Navy man, before. And but you have no regrets. You loved it. You met so many people, traveled so many places, and loved it all.
44 years.
How long?
44
years. Okay.
And I said, What a wonderful life. I don't know how you'd want it any better.
Yeah.
Oh, and I was doing a show in Cologne, and Odd wanted to go to the cathedral. And I said, well, I just don't trust it. And I just had finished one show. And I says, I'll drive you up there, or I'll sit out here. She says, no, you've got to go with me. And I went to this garage that was right next to this big cathedral.
Yeah.
And he opened curtains and put me in there right by the steps. I think I was set up, and I just got paid that night before, and I had $1,000, and I put it in an umbrella and shoved it under the seat of the car, the rental car that I had.
Okay.
And
with the umbrella and the money under the seat. Okay.
Not only that, he took all the magic and got the umbrella for $1,000, whoever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
I never got it back. And they broke the windows out to get into the car.
Okay.
Hmm. I had a rental car.
Yeah.
And when I got to, I'm trying to think of the next stop. They said, oh, Bud, I got guys coming from Paris and from Highland. He said, you got a day off tomorrow. Let me get all the guys and bring all the magic, and you pick out what you want.
Oh, so they brought stuff, and you kind of had a smorgasbord.
Yeah,
I need this.
But their cards weren't like mine, because I was Hoyle playing cards at that time.
Oh, okay, that's right. You did work for Hoyle.
Yeah, 15 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said, it's amazing, but I had more fun in it that. But they didn't take. I didn't have any magic until I got there, and they gave me. I used theirs, but they didn't have the rings I was using.
You had big rings. I remember you had like about 15-inch rings something.
And that one oversized.
Yeah. Because you didn't remember U.S. Steel and some other companies. Is that right? You worked for U.S. Steel then?
Oh, I sure did for years.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do all the moves I was doing because they didn't have the rings that would go over the top. Oh, but I was fooling around, throwing it in the air.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a wonderful, wonderful time. I was in Brussels.
And what year would that have been?
Oh, boy. That had to be 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago, I rented the car in Rome, and they had no problem with it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And but they took my airline tickets too.
So you had to buy new tickets.
No, while I was there, in Brussels. While I was there, we went to the airport, and they gave me the tickets until I got home. And I thought they'd pay. I'd have to pay for them.
Yeah,
but I didn't. They took care of it.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
So it was a wonderful life.
And you kind of got started a long time ago with the beginning, I guess, of where magic was being accepted in trade shows.
Yeah, there wasn't that much.
Mm-hmm.
It was Eddie Tellick and myself, and we did a lot for Bob Snowdell.
Yeah, Dick Ryan, then later.
And Dick, the three. Mm-hmm. Dick was a little after us.
I was going to say, he came a little bit after,
mm-hmm. Yeah, so I said it was a wonderful life.
Yeah, but you and Eddie kind of got it cranked up, yeah.
We sure did. I'm telling you.
What was the most exciting thing that you had done, or one that's just memorable that sticks out? Probably a question you get a lot,
Most of them. Well, the one I did for in Sweden was probably the best one. That was on a trade show in Chicago, and and they hired me there.
Okay, at the McCormick Center way back?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And from there, from that time on, they were always, when the president or anything had come over, even over the states, they didn't have a trade show, they'd call me.
Yeah.
So I said, you made so many good friends.
Good friends, that was it. Yeah, they weren't just business clients, they were, became good friends, I'm sure, over the years.
Exactly.
Because you worked for them year after year after year, and did many shows before them a year.
3M, I just had, well, I still got all our stocks.
And it was probably easy to travel, of course, back then. You didn't have to go through all the security and all that with all the rings.
There's no comparison.
Yeah.
It was very easy. And,
I think some of the younger people who might be listening to this really can't relate and understand, you know, how easy it was to travel before, you know, without that security.
And some of these companies would even send me the first class airfare. I never even had to get them. They would send them to me.
Yeah.
And, it was a wonderful life.
Yeah.
It really was a wonderful life.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful life when I was down with you guys. When I had
that was fun.
Yeah, you know, I was doing the Army show, you know, the shows. There were so many of them in Texas.
And yes, that's right. Yeah, it was over in Odessa, Texas. They had the what was that? It was an oil show of some sort. It seems like they went back and forth between Lafayette and Odessa.
Yeah.
I think it every alternate years or something. Yeah.
Obie O'Brien was a pilot, an airline pilot, was an agent.
Obie O'Brien, not the Obie O'Brien from the 4F convention. He was a teacher, yeah.
He lived in...
Different Obie.
No. And Obie had all these Army bases tied up, you know. He was the agent for the... He'd take me around. We'd end up driving in the morning... After a show, we'd drive so far it was getting daybreak where the next place we were going to.
Yeah. Wow.
So, like I said, you...
Lots of fun.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
It really was.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoy kind of reminiscing and talking just a little bit about that then, Bud. It's been some fun. Thank you very much.
Oh.
Okay. You're welcome. We'll see you later. Scotty out.